Improve It peeps, welcome to the show. If you are new to the Improve It podcast, welcome. I'm Erin Deal. I am your host as well as the chief edutainment officer of the company Improve It, an improv infused talent development company for the new generation of work. I want to shout out to all of our Improve It peeps who have left us reviews on the show recently. I have to tell you, reviews mean so much, not only to myself and team, but they mean so much to the guests that look at our show on iTunes and decide, hey, should I come on this show? Do they have a great audience who's supportive and wants to learn? And I want to shout out to Jordan Riker, who left this awesome review. She said, I love Erin's energy and her topics. Her book and podcast episodes have helped me reorder my life. I would highly recommend her podcast if you're a busy professional trying to balance it all. Jordan, thank you. It sounds like you already have the book, but reach out. I want to send you a little something for giving us a review. So if you have not left a review yet, please do so. And I would love to send you a signed copy of I See You. All you have to do is go to iTunes, leave 5 stars, and then shoot me a note at info@learntoimproveit.com. Just let me know you wrote a review for the show, and I will ask for your address and send you a signed copy of I See You. All right, let's get into today's show. This month, we are talking all about visions and vision setting. Now, this episode, I have to tell you, is one of my favorites. I laughed so hard, and there's some scenario role-playing in this, if you will. But I want to just talk about vision setting, because setting a vision is knowing what you want. I have my own vision setting practice every single day. I wake up, I usually work out now first, just because my schedule has shifted a little bit with my son. I then go for my workout, come back, and I will meditate as well as write down 10 things that I hope happen throughout the course of the day. It could be like, I want to have a great call. I want to have an enjoyable time getting ready this morning. I want X client to book with us. I want this podcast conversation to go great. I write down those 10 daily visions every morning, and then I go back and look at the day before's visions. And I have to tell you, what's so cool is about 85% of the things that I've written down come true just by setting an intention, telling the universe what you want. It happens and it comes back to you because you're very clear. So to get what you want, you have to know what you want and you have to have the tools to get there. And that's why today's guest is so, so critical about talking about negotiation, right? We use this word negotiation. It almost sounds like a scary tool. But what I want you to realize today is that negotiation is a conversation. It's a tool in your toolkit, and Kwame Christian is going to help us learn all about it and how it can help you have unstoppable success. So Kwame is a 2-time best-selling author. He's a lawyer, and he's the founder and CEO of the American Negotiation Institute. He's recognized as one of the world's top negotiation experts. He hosts the #1 negotiation podcast in the world, Negotiate Anything. He's gained prominence through his TEDx talk, Finding Confidence in Conflict. He's viewed over 500,000 times, which is wild. He's also the author of 2 best-selling books, Finding Confidence in Conflict and How to Have Difficult Conversations About Race. Kwame made history at The Ohio State University by winning 3 alumni awards before the age of 35 and was the winner of the prestigious Columbus 40 Under 40 Award in 2022. He's also a Forbes contributor, and he's been featured at NPR, USA Today, Fox, CNBC, Yahoo Finance, and more. If you click play on this show, it's because you are ready to set a vision for your life and have the negotiation skills to make it happen. You're ready to up-level your life and your negotiation tactics, and you want tangible takeaways to put in your toolkit when it comes to negotiations. My friends, get ready. Let's improve it and get to it with our guest, Kwame Christian. I just hit record and we're talking about your son busting in as the Kool-Aid man. And I will tell you, my son also busts in as the Kool-Aid man many a times. And I'm sitting in like a little closet here. He just busts the door open. What's your son's name? Let's start there.
Kai. So I have two. Hi. We have Kai at age 8 and Dominic at age 3.
Oh my God, such fun ages. I have a 5-year-old, so I have a right in the middle, Jackson, right in the middle of that. So, oh my God, the beautiful names.
Thank you.
And I told you this before we hit record, you have the best smile. So everybody listening, you have to check out the video portion of this because Kwame is just giving the best energy all day long. But I want to start off by just taking a deep breath and just really thinking about what we want to give the audience today. We call this community the Improve It Peeps. So if you had one word to just set as an intention for this conversation, what would it be?
It's confidence.
Yes.
Confidence is the word.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So when I think about difficult conversations, really what I've recognized with negotiations, sales, whatever it is, conflict resolution, really for the longest time, we have been giving recipes to people who are afraid to get in the kitchen. It's not a tactical or strategic question. A lot of times people know exactly what to do, but they don't have the confidence to do it. So yes, in this conversation, we're going to talk about how you can get better results, get better deals, have better relationships, and make your difficult conversations easier. But we need to make sure that you have the confidence to actually put these skills into practice.
I got to give you an amen to that. Okay. Hey, amen. Because I just had a difficult conversation literally before this call 30 minutes ago with a team member who I love dearly. And it was just one of those things that I could have sat there and made up a story for 20 minutes and in my own head, or I could have had the confidence to pick up the phone and call them and ask them a question that basically made the story that I was picking up in my head untrue. And it was a difficult conversation, but it led to an awesome result. And honestly, it was the confidence to pick up the phone call that I lacked in my earlier career to do that. So I love that we're starting with this intention, and just I'm giving you a personal anecdote to just yes and that, as we say over here, because I'm so here for that. Well, okay. We're talking about vision setting this month. It's you know, November, we're getting to the end of the year. We're thinking about the years ahead. Do you have a vision setting practice in your life that fuels you? You are so successful. I loved researching you. I love what you're putting out to the world. What do you do? How did you get there? And is there something you can share with us that we could do?
I give myself permission to dream big. I think that's big. My family has instilled that in me from a young age. I try to do that with Kai and Dominic as well. But because a lot of times we are limited only by our visions. We're limited by our aspirations. We can achieve more, but we don't believe we can. So we don't even allow ourselves to visualize that. And so I never exactly know where it is that I'm going to go. I just know that I want to keep on improving, keep on getting better. And then as you start to investigate and start to be led by your curiosity, your mind will ask you questions and it's your job to find the answers. And then for me, that's where curiosity takes me in my professional life, but also in my personal life as well. So it's just a life full of adventure. And people say, oh, well, it looks like you had a great plan. I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
I do plan to a certain extent. But if you would have asked me going into college, hey, do you think you're going to be a negotiation expert with a podcast and books? I would have been like, first of all, what is that? What are those things? You know, I wouldn't have known. So I think just giving myself permission to dream big is what leads to my vision.
I love that. And it's almost like we have to give ourselves these permission slips because no one else is going to do it, right? And if you didn't give those permission slips to you, where would you be? Not right here and not having the accolades that you have. And I'm so glad that we have you sitting here in front of us because, as you know, our Improve It peeps love their people. And we as leaders have a lot of different tools in our toolkit. But what I consistently hear from many of our community members is the lack of confidence to dream big, the lack of confidence to, in a high stakes conversation, have the confidence to get through it with grace, get through it with ease. So I want to start off because we ask our Improve It peeps to send in questions. And we got a question that I was like, I just have to give this to Kwame. Like, this is like, it's literally made for you and it's not a plant. I promise you. Okay. So let's hear from one of our Improve It peeps.
Hey, Erin. Love the show. And I have a topic I'd love to get your take on. As a senior manager in a tech company, I often find myself navigating complex negotiations with both internal teams and external partners. My question is, what are some key strategies top corporate leaders can use to ensure that negotiations not only achieve their immediate goals, but also build stronger long-term relationships? And how can we leverage these strategies to drive sustained success for our organizations? Thanks.
So I love that, and it's twofold, and it's a lot, and I'm going to ask you a lot of probing questions to give this viewer an answer. But it's really, I mean, I'm like, okay, this was made for you, so let's dive in, because everyone I know who is climbing that corporate ladder, a lot of people are small business owners listening, but we also have a ton of people in corporate America, and I know when I think of negotiations, I'm just going to tell you my own personal view. I like tense up a little bit because I want to be that person that everybody likes. And sometimes when I'm negotiating, I'm like, okay, somebody's going to walk away and not get what they want. Right. So I love that that question had a component of relationship building in there. And as a leader myself, I'm so curious in the answers to this, but let me start there. When we talk about immediate, like we want that negotiation to help us reach an immediate goal, but we also want it to help us build this longer term relationship. Do you have any specific techniques or strategies that is like, if you could give this listener one strategy to take away to help them walk away from that conversation with trust and confidence and ease, what would that be?
First, I have a definition, and then I have a strategy. So yes. First, I want to define negotiation because I don't want to assume that all of us are on the same page. So the way I define negotiation is anytime you're in a conversation and somebody in the conversation wants something. And I recognize that a big barrier that people have in negotiation is they don't recognize when they're negotiating. And so yes, you will have those big, obvious transactional negotiations, but we have opportunities to negotiate every single day, and we have opportunities to get better deals, get better relationships, and improve the situation as a whole. So I just want to make sure that we're passing that awareness test so we all know that we're negotiating all the time. Now, yeah. Number two, to the strategy. It is a simple framework that is, I would say, endorsed here.
We'll take that.
Called compassionate curiosity. It's a simple three-step framework that allows you to succeed in any difficult conversation, whether it's at work or at home. So step one is acknowledging and validating emotions. Step two is getting curious with compassion. And step three is joint problem solving. And so what it allows you to do is flow organically through the conversation. So if there is the specter of an emotion that is problematic or difficult, you can acknowledge and validate the emotions to lower the emotional temperature of the room. Once you have done that and the person is at a point of more stability, now you advance and you get curious with compassion, asking open-ended questions with a compassionate tone. Negotiation is an information game. The more information you have, the better you'll be. So this helps to build trust and build empathy and build rapport. And then once you gather that information and you've lowered the emotional temperature in the room, you just work with the other side to find a win-win solution. That's it. And so it allows you to know what to say and when to say it for maximum impact.
Okay. It's like you wrote a book on this or something. Wow. yes. Okay. So there were so many parallels as you were talking, like curious with compassion. I'm like, okay, that's yes. And there's so many parallels here to improv. So, and you told me this before the show that you were down to do some role playing. So Kwame, like you are my living dream right now to have on this show. Can we walk through these three steps as if we are negotiating? And I also, let me just take a step back here. The fact that you're like, we're negotiating all the time means a lot to me because it's almost like when I tell people let's improvise and they go, we're improvising all day long. This conversation is improvised. And so when I hear the word negotiation, I'm like, but you're right. We're always trying to understand each other to come to a win-win solution every moment of every day. So can we do a hypothetical example? Let's say I am your employee and I want to ask you for some time off, but I'm over my allotted PTO time. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking. Okay. And I come to you and I'm like, hey, Kwame, I am looking to take a couple extra days here. I know I'm already at my allotted time, but I just want to squeeze in one more day. Would that be possible? Is this a good negotiation, by the way? You can give me a totally different example.
This is great. Okay. This is great. Erin, all I ask is that you are extra mean and unreasonable so we can have some extra fun.
Okay. I love it. Okay. Yes. All right. So take me. Well, and maybe we just role play it out and then you can guide me and go back through what each step was that you were getting, how you got me through step one, two, and three through the
conference. Perfect.
Does that sound
good? Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So, Kwame, listen, my family wants to go to Cabo and, I know I'm already at my 25 allotted days and I know that's a lot of days, but listen, my flight cannot get in until Sunday night. And I'm going to be so tired because I'm going to be in the sun all week and I'm going to be with my family. And I just really think I've done a lot for this organization. I've been here a long time. So if I could just have maybe Monday and Tuesday off just to recoup, I know that it's an extra 2 days on the calendar, but I just feel like I deserve it.
Okay. So let's do a quick recap here to make sure I'm understanding right, Erin. So you have this vacation planned with your family. You will be back on Sunday and you want Monday and Tuesday to recover because it's going to be pretty exhausting because it's an international trip. Exactly. Am I getting that right?
You're right. Okay. I need a vacation from my vacation. You know what I mean?
Okay. I've felt that before. Yeah. I was just in Cancun and it was fun, but the sun is hot and the kids can be exhausting. So I can definitely empathize with that. And tell me again about the situation with the PTO days.
Yeah. Right now. So, okay. We're at 25 days, you know, given to us and this would put me at 27. But Kwame, I've been here for 10 years. Like I feel like I should have more than 25 days. And I also feel like an extra 2 days isn't going to hurt anyone. So if you could just like not allow me to put that in the PTO tracker, that'd be cool.
Okay. Okay. So there's an element though of you feeling like you deserve this because you've been here forever and you've done such a great job over the years. And so you're just asking for a little bit of leniency here so you can have this time and then come back recouped.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then just to like throw it in, I've worked a lot of nights and weekends for this job. Like if you were to text me at 7 p.m., I'm going to respond and I'm going to send you whatever document you need or PowerPoint. Like, and I've also, I don't know if you remember those couple of events this year that I did on Saturday that were not in my 40 plus hour work week assignment. I've had some extra days. So what I'm trying to say right now is that yes, I deserve it, but I've also like put in the time and I just want you to recognize that.
Okay, Erin, that's actually really, really helpful context in this conversation, because when you think about fairness, you're not just thinking about, I want this time for myself, and you're not just talking about the previous 10 years of loyal service. You're also talking about more recently, you took time out of your personal time in order to give it to the company. And so that's kind of a fairness perspective. It would be fair to give that to you. That's your perspective, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And I'm glad you see where I'm coming from here because, you know, I didn't want to bring that up to you, but I feel like it matters.
It does matter. And your perspective does matter. It's valid here. And I want to say I appreciate you actually laying this out for me because it's helping me as I go through this decision. And now one of the problems is that there are people on your team, and I'm not sure if they are acutely aware of your PTO situation. The challenge that I'm thinking is, how does this look in the eyes of team members who haven't logged 10 years of service and who haven't logged that time on the weekend? How can we frame this in a way where it is both fair to you while also being fair to them and not giving them the wrong impression?
Kwame, listen. Okay, this is where mano-y-mano want to talk. We don't have to tell them. You know what I mean? Like, this is just between you and me. Nobody has to know. So I get it. But like, I've had the longest tenure on my team. And you know that. And just throw me one. You know what I mean? Like, just give the dog the bone. And I promise you, the dog will come back wagging its tail 2 days later from Tata.
First of all, I appreciate your dog paws as you ask for this. And I'm definitely following. I'm definitely following.
You got it.
And okay. The challenge I'm having is I need to make sure that I do this in a way that honors your service, because I don't think what you're asking for is unreasonable, while also making sure that we don't send the wrong impression to the teammates. And so let's do this. Let's schedule a call for later this week. Let me talk it over with some of the other leaders, and let me go back and read some of our fictional HR policies to make sure that we're not doing anything that violates any laws or provisions. And then let's continue the conversation, and we'll come to a conclusion at that time. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Thanks for looking into that and taking time. That actually is really cool. I would love to get my hands on that fictional HR policy at some point.
Anytime.
Read a few things in that. Okay. You were amazing. And I tried really hard to be mean. I tried to be a little sassy so that, you know, she was just silly. She was just nutty. And she didn't like dogs. So let me take me through that, because I felt very heard. Can I just tell you first what I felt? And then can you explain what you did? Because I felt as like, even though it was hypothetical and it was a scenario, I was like, wow, he's really listening. And he's like repeating back and asking me verifying questions to make me know that he was listening to me. So you kept digging, and that was that curiosity I felt. And then you didn't have and this is something I really have respected. Like, you didn't have the answer right there. And you're like, I'll get back to you, but I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to put time on my calendar and your calendar to come back and talk about it. So, okay. As you know, Cabo Kathy, I felt seen and heard, but you tell me what you did in that scenario. That was so fun. I love that.
Thank you. No, this was great. And if there's another scenario that comes up, I'm down, because this is fun for me to do. Mm-hmm. Because when I do this with my clients, and sometimes I have them do a role play and I teach them compassionate curiosity, I'll say, all right, I want the meanest person to do this exact same role play with me. Just breathe fire. Don't be reasonable at all. What's fun for me is after a couple minutes, they say, well, I, it's hard for me to be mad right now. I'm not mad anymore.
Yeah.
So what's happening? So when you label emotions, this is step one, acknowledging and validating emotions. There's science behind that. So simply put, when we think about emotions, it's the amygdala firing. That's where all of your emotions come from.
Yep.
But our logical brain, this is in our frontal lobe. So our logical reasoning, emotion management, executive function is all in the frontal lobe, but there's an antagonistic relationship between those two brain structures. But the part of the brain that labels emotions is in the frontal lobe. So by constantly labeling the emotions, it activates that part of the brain, which quiets the amygdala and calms people down. So they're less triggered through the process. And so with this strategy, with this interaction, I just had two skills. I just used two skills. It was compassionate curiosity and the empathy loop. So the empathy loop is first listening and then summarizing, saying, all right, correct me if I'm wrong, or tell me if I'm getting this right, you know, whatever preamble you want. And then you summarize it, but you double check at the end. Am I close on that? Did I get that right? And I don't advance in the conversation until that has been accomplished. So I acknowledge and validate anytime I see emotions. So positive or negative. It seems like you really want this vacation. It sounds like you are the loyalty that you've demonstrated for this company is important to you. I appreciate everything that you've done. So anytime I see that emotions, those emotions, positive or negative, label it, and then transition into compassionate curiosity. Number two, where I'm asking those questions, gathering information, and then slowly trying to push us to step number three, which is joint problem solving, where we're working together to find a solution. And in this case, there was not a clear solution. And I think a lot of times people try to push to a conclusion when it would be inappropriate. Because like I said, negotiation is an information gathering a game. So if I gather that information, I figure out that I don't know enough in order to close this deal. So what would be an improvement in this position? Just saying, hey, I've listened to you. I appreciate you. I'm validating you. You feel heard. You give me information that I did not have previously. That's a win. I'm accepting it, and I'm bouncing out of this conversation.
Oh my God. I'm just going to change the entire format of this show to be just what we did. This was incredible. And you're helping our listener who called in too, because I mean, hello, we're talking about how we are building stronger long-term relationships. Hello. Oh, like, I want to work for you forever, Kwame, if I'm Cabo Kathy. Okay. I'm like, yeah, cool. He's going to give me those 2 days, probably. That's what I'm thinking right now. He's going to give me those 2 days. And maybe you don't. But you know what? He listened to me and I trust him. And I feel seen, heard, and valued because of that. This is a slow clap because I want to do more of these. I'm like, yes.
Thank you.
This was so good. Okay. That was a conversation gone right. Let's talk about a conversation, a failed negotiation, right? And what, first of all, how would you define a failed negotiation?
The timing of this could not be better. So I had my buddy, Josh Weiss. He works at the Harvard program on negotiation. He just finished a book that's coming out soon about failures in negotiation. This Ooh. Was yesterday. So I'm okay. sharp on this.
Okay.
So a failure is any time you do not meet your objectives in the conversation, whatever that happens to be. Now, that's how I would describe failure broadly. But then we also have to change our mindset around failure. What is failure? We could look at failure as a negative state where we are, where we do not want to be, yeah. right? And it could be a bad thing labeled badly, right? But for me, failure is a tool. And the question is, how do you use this tool? There's no such thing as a perfect negotiation. You're going to make mistakes along the way. But just like improv, we have the ability to adapt and flow and adjust. And so something that is often overlooked in difficult conversations is accountability, owning those times you made a mistake and then adjusting. You know, a simple example would be sometimes I might not ask a question that is well worded. So I might ask the question and then 75% of the way through the question, I'll say, actually, Aaron, you know what? I'm wording that incorrectly. Let me try yeah. again, right? Not smooth, not Hollywood ready, but effective, right? I might say or do something offensive, not great, but what I need to come back and do is negotiate for the improvement of the relationship. Acknowledge and validate emotions is that apology. I'm going to take full responsibility. I did this. It had this impact on you, and I apologize for it. Here's what I'm going to do to make sure we don't find ourselves in this position again. And so failure is a tool. The mistakes that you make, those are opportunities. And in fact, what's really interesting, Aaron, is if you make a mistake and recover well, a lot of times that is better than performing perfectly.
It is. I agree with you. Okay. So many thoughts and synergies. Okay. So sometimes I sing and they're used to that. And when I look like this, I'm looking at my microphone. So it's like, they're right there. They're not. oh God, where was I going? Okay. Failure. So this show, actually, before it was Improve It, which is the name of our company, it was called the Failed It Podcast. Foreshadowing. Probably. However, we did 50 episodes as the Failed It Podcast because one of the major tenets of improv comedy is there are no mistakes, only gifts. So anything that happens on stage that might be a mistake no longer is a mistake. It becomes a part of the scene. So like if you and I were in a conversation and I spilled water on my computer and I was like, oh, crap. And then I just didn't acknowledge that. And we kept going. The audience is probably like, what is she saying, oh, crap, for? But if I was like, oh, crap, just the water on my computer, Kwame. Craps is my favorite game to play in Vegas. And then we start talking about Vegas. And so it becomes a part of the scene. You make it a part of the scene. And so I love that you're like, there really is no failure when it comes to negotiation. It's just a learning opportunity, an opportunity for growth. I want to have like one more role-playing moment because that was giving me life.
Let's
and I hope that our peeps love this as well. Because we haven't done this on the show very often. Well, maybe we've done it one or two times. I don't know, but this feels revolutionary. So we're doing it again. So, okay, let's take the same scenario, Cabo Kathy, just to keep it consistent. And let's redo it. And I'll say about probably the same things, but show me, could you kind of lean into what a failed negotiation would look and feel like? Show us what not to do.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Is that
possible? I got it.
Okay. All right. So show me the how not to do what you just taught us to do. Okay. So Kwame, I'm going on this trip with my family. Listen, my kid is driving me nuts. So I'm going to need a vacation from my vacation. I'm coming back Sunday. I'm at the 25 days off already, but if I could just get Monday and Tuesday off, I know I'll be at 27 PTO days, but I just really would love to extend my vacation because I'm going to be so tired. Or could we do that? Or would that be okay to put on the PTO calendar?
I wish I could, but I can't because you would be over your PTO days. So unfortunately, I have to say no.
Okay. Well, can we talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely talk about it. I'm not exactly sure what, and I'm open to it. I'm here. This is an open door, but I'm not sure exactly what it is that I would be able to do because the decision is what it is. It's completely out of my hands. But I'm here for you. I can definitely talk through it.
Okay. Well, if you're an open door, I don't see the door being very wide open right now. It kind of feels like a crack. It feels like it's cracked and maybe, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wish I could. I honestly wish I could, but there's nothing I can do. The rule is what it is. I mean, it's not me. It's not my fault. Well, it's completely out of my hands.
Like, could you talk to your boss or like the CEO or something like this? I feel like I've deserved this, Kwame. I've been here 10 years and I have worked some nights and some weekends recently, and I've already kind of given more time to this company than I would like. And so I'm just asking if you could just slide this in for me, just like slide it under the cracked door and just like slide it there and just leave it between, you know what it is? Like a door stopper. Put a door stopper in the door. So like this conversation just stops and ends with me and you. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You can just kind of allow me to have those 2 days.
Yeah, like I said, I wish I could. And thanks for working that extra time. But the rules are what they are, you know. And so I could send an email if you'd like me to and just let them know. But I know what they're going to say. They're going to say no because the rule is what it is. They're very strict with this. And it's just tough. My hands are tied, just completely tied.
Okay. Well, yeah. I have scissors and we can cut the tie.
They're metal, unfortunately. They're handcuffs.
Okay. That's different. I could have stopped the conversation right after you said no. I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to fight for this. But it was way different.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how you felt during that.
Yeah. I mean, it was stifling. Like it was like I did not feel validated or heard or seen, or like I even wanted to really push my agenda. But I was like, no, I want this to happen, right? So I was like, I'm gonna keep going. But it just felt like I was just pushing and pushing, and there was like, even when you said open door, I was like, this door's not open. You know? And I was like, this is closed. And so if I was in that same scenario, comparing it to the first one, I'm like, wow, they're two different leaders.
Mm-hmm. Think about the relationship, not just the relationship between you and me, but also the relationship between you and the company. How does that feel now?
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm valid. I don't feel like I'm important or like my contributions matter or that what I'm giving is being seen in end. Even, you know, for me and you, like, I'm like, man, he doesn't have my back. Like, he's not going to fight for me and even look into this. Like, I just, it feels different and stifling. And it, you know, and I know this to be true from the work I do with Yes And, like, it leads to unproductive people. It leads to demotivation and it leads to stagnancy. And it's where innovation goes to die. Like, it's like this hole where you're just, this is why quiet quitting exists. You're just like, I'm going to just come to work and punch in and punch out and eventually find a new job. This is my work, you know, instead of being like, man, Kwame like fought for me and he's going to get back to me. And that means a lot. Thank you. So,
yeah. See, think about it. It's like, you are here for you. Cool. I'm here for me. I used to be a team player. Now this is team me, right? And so essentially what I did was literally the opposite of compassionate curiosity. Think about acknowledging and validate your emotions, how you're feeling. I did that in the first one, pulled all of that away the second one. Getting curious with compassion, zero compassion, zero curiosity. And then joint problem solving. I'm not trying to work with you for anything. I'm not trying to work with you to find a solution at all. It is none. But I'll tell you, the door is open as I do it, right? And so think about this, because this was clearly a no. In the first situation, I might come back and read this fictional HR manual and say, hey, there's no way around this. I am really sorry. I looked into this. I talked to this person and this person, and I couldn't get back to you. That result would not be what you wanted, but you would still feel so much better about the process.
Totally. And you're right. If I even didn't get the days, I would have felt like I had been, you know, it's really just this like idea of belonging. Like I would feel like I belong and I matter. And that's really what the crux of your work is. I know that.
That's it. And that first one did not feel like a negotiation at all.
Yeah.
It's just a conversation. We're just two people working, yes, trying to work it out. And that's really it. And you know, it's funny. This is the kind of little existential crisis I'm having here, because negotiation is a term that is respected by the business community. That's what gets me indoors and everything. But my whole goal has been to rebrand negotiation as just a difficult conversation where we try to make things better. That's it. And I think that the bias against negotiation holds people back from recognizing just how powerful this tool can be in everyday conversations.
Well, so you would call it difficult conversations versus what is your, like, do you have a workshop in Word that you're using?
Yeah. So when I think about the keynote, the book, the TED talk, those are all called finding confidence in conflict, because people can understand confidence. They need that. Conflict is scary. A lot of times, even though with the broad definition of negotiation, we're all negotiating, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or an executive, we're all negotiating, but people don't identify what they're doing as negotiation. So I'm still trying to figure out what it is, but being able to just recognize that this is it's communication. How do I build better relationships? How do I get more of what I want while making sure I can avoid things that I don't want? Negotiation is part of that. These conversations are part of that. And our motto is, we believe the best things in life are on the other side of difficult conversations. And a lot of times that fear, that lack of confidence, holds us back from even stepping foot in the conversation and giving us a chance for that better life.
There it is. There's your intention. Just coming right back, full circle moment. Love that. Oh, well, it's so interesting that you say that, because when I told you, when I hear the word negotiation, I'm like, but it piques people's interest. Leaders are like, oh, that's a skill I need in my toolkit. But, you know, it could get you in the door, and then I don't know. I'm here for you on that one, because I agree with you. It is a stifling word, but it does pique interest. It's like one of those clickbait things. And
exactly.
You know, it's clickbait. It's clickbait, but when you just did this role play with me, it is like, I actually felt the difference between the positive negotiation conversation versus what was just a total negotiation. So I'm so here for this. Okay. Let me ask you one more question. This is a really fun one. These are two fun ones that I just had to ask you, because this is what we do on the show. Okay. So in a high stakes negotiation, if you could choose any historical figure as your co-negotiator, who would it be and why?
Oh my goodness. And a general high stakes negotiation.
Yes. And they could be living or dead. And you could know them or not. Like, you know, it could be like a figure you admire.
Oh, I'm going to give this a lot more thought than you probably think is appropriate, because there's so many dynamics that I would put into play. Michelle Obama.
Yes.
That's what I would say. Yeah, I would pick up Michelle Obama. So first, the gender dynamics. I think pairing a man with a woman, it works really well. So there's a different level of... So I like to think about it just like a sport. We both played different positions, right? And so there is the somebody would play the role of the person who is maybe focused on the numbers. Somebody is focused on the relationship. Somebody is the person who sets boundaries. Somebody is the person who opens the door and makes conversation, builds rapport, and gathers information. So I'm thinking, all right, I want somebody who is likable, but also has an edge to them. Her background as a lawyer would help. I was thinking like Margaret Thatcher. She is a bit too hard. The Iron Lady, right? Yeah. It wouldn't be a good connection. And then I was thinking also Mother Teresa. I am a softer handed negotiator and she would be even softer than that. So I don't need more compassion. I've got that on lock. So though that is what I was thinking going back and forth, and her favorables are too high for both sides, you know, so she would be the person I would pick.
I love that. And she has amazing arms. So like you get, you bring her in a sleeveless shirt and like you've already won, you know? Okay. All right. And then this is another fun one. If you were to create a negotiation playlist of songs that embody successful strategies of negotiation, what, give me two songs that would be on it.
Well, I guarantee you, the songs that would be on it, nobody would know. So I'll give you some other options. But I've started to get into this AI music. And so I make songs every day. I don't know if you've done this, Aaron, but you can make one of these songs in about 30 seconds. And it sounds really good. So what I do is I take journal entries for things that I'm struggling with, like productivity, assertiveness, whatever it happens to be. Because we didn't get into this, maybe next time. I'm a recovering people pleaser too. So sometimes that comes back, right? And so whatever it is, oh, being a patient, loving father when I'm tired. I'll make all of these songs based on lyrics inspired by my journal. And I'll put it through ChatGPT, give me the lyrics, and then I'll describe the song that I want. So whatever I'm feeling, I have an anthem for that. So I'll make these in 30 seconds every day.
So wait a minute. Okay, you're literally doing this in ChatGPT, and then ChatGPT spits out the song? Like it puts like lyrics?
Aaron, I'm about to blow your mind.
Blow my mind right now.
Let me show you.
Let's make a song right now.
I'll make one for you right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, yes. Recovering people pleasers.
Okay, recovering people pleasers?
No, you do what you were going to do.
I'm on a podcast with a woman named Erin. Her podcast is all about improv used as a skill in everyday life. And I want to create a really hard, inspirational gangster rap about how you can improve your life through improv, navigate through life, and win because of this skill. Boom. Okay. So it'll make the lyrics now. So it'll just chug along and make the lyrics. So then what I'll do as it's creating these lyrics, I'll go into my app called Suno, S-U-N-O AI. And then I will describe the song that I want, like the melody and everything. But I can't, because of copyright, you can't say somebody's name specifically. It can't say, oh yeah, make it like Jay-Z or something. But you can describe it however you want. Okay. We are done with the lyrics.
Wild.
And I'll send you the link too so you can listen to it.
Oh my, what if this is the new theme show for the podcast?
It might be.
You know, what if? What if in 30 seconds this just happened? This is mind-blowing. Like where are we in 20 years going to be talking on podcasts, or are we going to be robots?
We're just going to be robots.
20 years from now, they're going to be like, remember back in the day when we were on that pod? Yeah, right?
Okay,
now so I just clicked create. Living room. Okay.
I just pressed create. Let's see how long it takes.
This is fascinating. Okay, improve it, Pete. Get ready. This is an exclusive. Done. This has never happened before on the show. Here we go.
All done. Here you go. Okay. Let us see. Improv Wins is the name.
Okay. That's right.
Can you hear this?
Yes. Yeah. Yo, life's a stage, no script in hand. Gotta think quick, make moves, take a stand. Improv in the game, I'm always on the flow. Adapt on the spot like water, I just go. When the pressure's on, I don't freeze. I react quick wit, sharp mind. That's a fact in the streets or the boardroom. It's all the same. improv got me ready, always in the game. Improv, it's the weapon that I bring. Navigate through life, watch me do my thing. No matter what they throw, I'm catching no lie. Improv, my tool, I'll win, do or die. Yeah, yeah, do or die.
That is insane. Okay, please send me that. We have to have that. I'm going to play it as the outro of the show. Okay, give it to me again. We're going to play it out. And then also, what? I'm so glad I asked that question. I'm going to make so many things that are going to be appropriate and inappropriate. Oh my God.
Yes. Oh,
that
yeah.
is so fun. Thank yeah. you.
It's okay. great. It's well, so much fun.
That was legit the best answer to that question I could have ever dreamed of. So thank you. Couldn't have dreamed up a better one. Neither could have AI, because that's all they have. Okay. That is wild. Okay. People are going to want to know how they can book you on stages, how they can get your book, how they can listen to your show. Give it to me, Kwame. Give it all.
Yes. So check out the website, AmericanNegotiationInstitute.com. If you're interested in working with us in any ways, keynotes, trainings, we have a bunch of digital products. We also have Negotiate Anything, the number one negotiation podcast in the world. And if you are one of the few people that still likes books, we have two books. We have Finding Confidence in Conflict, and then we have How to Have Difficult Conversations About Race. And in that book, I don't tell you how to think about race. I tell you how to talk about race. And it's written in a way that you can use it as a tool to have any difficult, sensitive topic conversation either. So yeah, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram as well.
Okay, we're going to put all of that in the show notes. I am so honored to be in your orbit. You're in my orbit now forever, okay? And we're friends forever. And we're going to make so many songs, okay? We're going to start a band. And I'm just, the role playing was so awesome. The confidence came full circle so many times. We helped out our listener today in making those negotiations create longer lasting relationships. I have one final question for you, Kwame. I ask every guest this. We say it and prove it, that the it is that thing that you were put on this earth to do. It is like your soul's contract. Why are you here is the question. No, I'm just kidding. What is your it? What is Kwame's it? What is your it?
I think it is the ability to make difficult conversations easier, but also give people the confidence to know that they can do it.
I love it. You are pure joy. I'm so grateful to have you on this show. I know our peeps are going to come and find you and want to connect. So make sure you grab either one of his books, listen to his pod. We'll put all of it in the show notes. So awesome to chat with you, Kwame. This truly was like the highlight of my day. This was so fun. So thank you.
Likewise, my friend. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We're gonna play everybody out with that song. Okay.
There you go.
There yes. it is. All right. My friends. Oh my gosh. Kwame is just awesome. That was incredible. I can't even believe we got to get our own Improve It playlist over here. So I just want to shout out to Kwame for being such an incredible guest. I have to tell you, not a lot of guests tell me, hey, I want to do some role playing. And when he said that, I was like, let's go. None of that was planned. It all sort of just happened. And that's the beauty of improv, is making magic happen in the moment. And a lot of the through lines in those role plays relate to what we teach at Improve It. Yes, and making people feel seen, heard, and valued, that curious and conflict, courageous conversation. Having those conversations with Kwame made me see what a really good negotiation, or AKA conversation, looks like, and what a conversation gone wrong could look like, which is ultimately an innovation stifler, a fun vacuum, if you will. Your homework is to take today's episode and send it to someone who really wants to work on their difficult conversation skills. I don't even want to say the word negotiation anymore, now that I know that Kwame, it's a hard word for Kwame to sort of digest for people. It is one of those clickbait words, and that's probably why you clicked on this episode. But it really is just a conversation rooted in empathy. So take this episode, send it to a friend who would benefit from hearing it. And I just want to say thank you to my amazing peeps community for coming back here, investing in you, taking the time to give yourself another tool in your professional development toolkit. I'm Erin Diehl. As you know, I want you to keep failing, keep improving, because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next time.
Yeah. Yo, yo, life's a stage, no script in hand. Gotta think quick, make moves, take a stand. Improv in the game, I'm always on the flow. Adapt on the spot like water, I just go. When the pressure's on, I don't freeze, I react quick wit, sharp mind. That's a fact in the streets or the boardroom. It's all the same. Improv got me ready, always in the game. Improv, it's the weapon that I bring. Navigate through life, watch me do my thing. No matter what they throw, I'ma catch it, no lie. Improv's my tool, I'ma win, do or die. Yeah. Make got no hesitation. Improv skills is my life's foundation. From the streets to the top, yeah, I'ma rise with improv in my blood. I'm wise to their lies, can't box me in. I'm outside the frame, every twist and turn, I'm ahead in the game. Life throws a curve, I'm swinging for the fence. Improv's my edge, always in defense. Improv, it's the weapon that I bring. Navigate through life, watch me do my thing. No matter what they throw, I'ma catch it, no lie. Improv's my tool, I'ma win, do or die. Yeah, yeah, do or die. Yeah, yeah, do or die. When you're down and out, gotta rise from the floor. Improv's the key, it's opening doors. Stay on your toes, no fear, just pride. Improv in my heart, I take it in stride. Yeah, yeah, do or die. Yeah, yeah, do or die. From the hustle to the grind, I got the drive. Improv in my veins, I'm staying alive. Grit, grace, and wit, that's my blend. Improv's the truth to the very end. Improv, it's the weapon that I bring. Navigate through life, watch me do my thing. No matter what they throw, I'ma catch it, no lie. Improv's my tool, I'ma win, do or die. Yeah, yeah, do or die. Yeah, yeah, do or die. Improv, it's the weapon that I bring. Navigate through life, watch me do my thing. No matter what they throw, I'ma catch it, no lie. Improv's my tool, I'ma win, do or die. Yeah. Gotta rise from the floor. Improv's the key. It's opening doors. Stay on your toes. No fear, just pride.